without being eaten by the wild animals? All these questions need to be answered. So some is led to believe that this is only a pretext used by Israel to exploit the blood of the three in order to appear as a victim and regain the support of the international community. Now, with the kidnapping, torturing, and burning alive the Palestinian boy, this probably put a stop to the Israeli gaining some sympathy around the world. They become targeted as criminals, as the ones who are behind the hate culture that led to the murder of this boy.
Very well. I'd like to take a quick time out. I'm looking at our Facebook page here and tell you viewers about how you can become part of this debate by at least sending your comments. We are going to read some comments later. You could go onto the Facebook page and if you type in hashtag PressTV debate, our question, where is the situation headed to, as indications show that Israel prepares for a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip, and make your comments there as it's been pouring in terms of the viewers signing on and giving their comments. Well, Richard Weiss, this has been kind of odd, if not very controversial, that Israel has not provided any proof regarding the way that they went and convicted Hamas, killed 12 Palestinians during the raids, of which there were over 500 arrests. And then, of course, we're looking at what is occurring now. But let's move on and get your reaction. I'd like to get on what Khaled Mashal, the Hamas political bureau chief, has said, who has said within a short time, this is while he was in Qatar, he said, within a short time, you will not find any Palestinians who dare to talk about a state based on the 1967 borders. Now, this obviously points to the fact that there is no two-state solution, although many believe that that no longer applies. Do you think that a two-state solution is out the window?
No, I still think that if you think about how the conflict, not this particular conflict in Gaza, but just the broader conflict between Israelis and Palestinians would end, two states would be a logical endpoint. One state could also work, but again, both of those, I think that pretty much excludes it. There might be a broader regional structure or something, but I think it's going to be one of those two. You could argue there are advantages and disadvantages to both, and you could think of pathways that could lead to both outcomes. So no, I wouldn't exclude that.
Well, Abdullah, let's look at the Arab response. And at this point, the Organization of Islamic Conference, the OIC, you could look at the Arab League. And it seems like that's a trend. There are, what, three wars that have occurred that we can look back on. They seem to come in late. And I'm going to zoom in on Egypt at this point because there's a different landscape there with Sisi to have been elected as president. And many are saying that they've taken a back seat to what is happening regarding Palestinians. Obviously, they're in control of the Rafah border crossing. How do you see the Arab response, and in particular, Egypt?
No, as far as Egypt is concerned, I think the Egyptian president has moved from day one. He sent his chief of security to Israel. Unfortunately, the Israelis, of course, they have to bring something to their people. Otherwise, this government will fail in the eyes of the Israeli people. So Netanyahu, having his own target, which is to bring something meaningful to the Israeli public. He would not respond to the call of the Egyptian president through his chief of security. But at the same time, the Egyptian president have moved politically at the United Nations level. We're working together very closely in the meeting of the Security Council today. On the other hand, Egypt has opened the Rafah crossing, opening its borders and its hospitals for the wounded Palestinians to be treated at Egypt's expenses. We appreciate that, and we need, of course, we expect more. But at this point in time, we cannot expect military assistance from any Arab country.
Well, you talk about the Rafah border crossing being opened by Egypt, Abdullah, I'm sorry to jump in. You talk about the Rafah border crossing being opened, but that's after 2.5 days when you have up to 95 Palestinians to have been killed with over 600 injured. Wouldn't you think they would open the border before this?
Well, you know, you have to understand that there has been some muddy water between Egypt and Hamas in the past. Hamas was accused of being intervening internally, being a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood who have some problems in Egypt. But here we are, our president, at least in his contact with world leaders, including the Egyptian president, that the question is not Hamas and Israel. The question is Israel attacking the Palestinian people. The Israeli design, even these 95 people who lost their lives, as you just rightly said, not all of them are Hamas, they are ordinary people. Seven families have been wiped off completely by the Israeli criminal air raids. At least to come late, better than not to come at all.
And Richard White's, it appears when it
comes... Can I just add about Sisi?
Go ahead, sure. Go ahead, Richard White.
One of the things... I agree with our previous speaker. I think he's gone farther than perhaps some of his predecessors would. And of course, he's newly into office. He's just implemented some difficult domestic economic reforms. And so I suspect that this is the last thing he wanted to see was a conflict in a neighboring, yet another conflict in a neighboring country when he's trying to stabilize the situation internally. So I tend to agree with our previous guest that he's gone about as forward as possible, and certainly more so probably than his predecessors.
Very well. I'm going to ask about the international response in a minute, but before that, let's look at some of the Facebook comments as posted by the viewers on the topic of this debate.
There is no doubt about an invasion. The time is right for them. Everybody is busy with ISIS and the FIFA World Cup. It is how they operate. Ruthless murderers. Why are they terrorizing the poor Palestinian people? Have they known heart? Ruthless they are. With nuclear weapons too? Talk about a terrorist organization. The terrorist Hamas should not bring problem to the Palestinian people. This whole thing started with them, but nobody wants to blame him. Nazi-style extermination of the Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip, who cannot defend themselves. They cannot run and hide anywhere. Where is the Arab world? They are sleeping, especially Saudi Arabia.
Some of the viewer comments there, there's so many of them too. Richard Weiss, when it comes to Palestinians, especially Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, there have been the 2008 war, the 2012 war, and now we're looking at what is happening right now. Why is it that regional countries like Saudi Arabia, like one of our viewer comments mentioned there, are very happy to support terrorists inside Syria to try to topple the government Bashar al-Assad, or countries such as the United States and some of their allies, like the UK, very quick at this point, 3 years of supporting these insurgents, but when it has come to Palestinians, it doesn't seem like anybody is doing anything, especially for the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
I suspect there are several factors at work. As our previous guest mentioned, there are some governments, such as those of Egypt and others, that are uncomfortable with Hamas. They would prefer, if they would prefer working with Fatah or some other group within the Palestinian movement, and that makes them hesitate to be involved in Gaza, since that's controlled primarily by Hamas, despite their sympathies to the people. Other countries are close to Israel and or feel that challenging Israel really wouldn't yield anything. I mean, we've seen in the past, at least the current government's very stubborn about achieving its objectives. I suspect there's behind-the-scenes pressure by the Obama administration, by European governments, to end this conflict soon. I mean, the last thing we read right now is yet another war in the Middle East. So I think diverse factors are at work. There's a lot of sympathy for the Palestinian people in general, if not necessarily their leaders all the time.
Well, Abdullah, you got a couple of minutes here to answer. And in closing, I'd like to ask the way that you said that Israel wants to pretty much improve its image Do you think, and to gain, you said the reason being that it needs to gain popularity with the international community, do you think what it is doing right now is going to help him, help Israel improve its image, especially if it goes and goes and creates a ground invasion inside the Gaza Strip?
Well, let us take it in two parts. First of all, it will this continued attacks and the killing of innocent civilians targeting infrastructure and residential areas definitely will not improve Israel's image, not abroad, not even within the Israeli public. But now the Israelis who've been asked to go in shelters, they might be at the beginning happy that their government is doing harm to the Palestinians. But later on, when they come to think, they will find out that their government has led them to this state of fear that they are in because of its futile policies. It's a policy of subjugation, policy of discrimination, and restriction of the Palestinians, denial of the Palestinian rights. Now, even at the international scene, I'm sure the Israelis, by the time, they will be losing more ground than they have before they started this campaign. What goals, what targets they have to achieve, except more killing from innocent Palestinians, more destruction. And let us not only look at Gaza Strip. Look what's happening in the West Bank. A young lad being taken, abducted, tortured, and burnt alive. His cousin was beaten by the Israeli police, and it's on tape. A 15-year-old American citizen coming for a visit, and he was on the sidewalk watching. He was beaten on videotape. Now, these images are not good for the Israelis. Even some Israeli journalists, I'm sure, later on, when things die down, they will come after their government. And Netanyahu will pay a price, political price, sooner or later.
Very well, we're going to leave it there. Member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, Abdul Abdullah, talked to us there from Ramallah. Thank you. And senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Richard Weitz.
Thank you.
Spoke to us from Washington. Thanks so much for watching another edition of The Debate. Any comments or questions, newsroom@presstv.ir. That's our email address. And, of course, hashtag the Press TV debate on our Facebook page to add your comments. From Mikhail Tahweh and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.